Welcome, everybody. Good to see you all. It's episode 4 of our new Table Talk series. And this entire month, we've been dedicating to the topic of generosity and what the scripture says about living generous lives and how we can walk that out in our day-to-day. And so oftentimes I find for me, as I read and study scripture, it helps to put it in perspective by trying to walk that out in our lives. Whatever we hear on Sunday, whatever we are taught or study, does us little good if we don't understand how to walk in it, how to apply it to our day-to-day lives. And so generosity applies to every part of who we are. It applies to our time, our skills and abilities, how we invest our finances. These are all things that flow out of a generous heart. And this church has been known historically over the years as a very generous church, generous with world missions, helping plant churches around the world and ministries that are touching people that are dealing with incredibly difficult situations, and here at home, helping those that are in our own community that are less fortunate, or ministering to families in our own neighborhood. And so the generosity that is Calvary has been exemplified in all of you. And so the scripture that we've been using for this series that everything has been grounded on is 2 Corinthians 9:11, and it says, "You will be enriched in every way." And so again, not just for enrichment's sake, not just for blessing's sake, but enriched with a purpose. And that purpose is also shown in the same scripture, and it says, "So that you can be generous on every occasion, and that through us," the Bible says, "your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So God wants to work through you. He wants to use your life as a conduit of his love, of his generosity to the world that's around us. And so as we've been having some honest conversations around the table, we've talked to staffers and volunteers and board members and all kinds of different types of people. People just like you that are learning every day to walk out the reality of 2 Corinthians 9:11 in their lives. What does that look like when you put sneakers on it? How does it look in the real world? And, you know, having a great grand concept is one thing, but many people, if you're anything like me, you want to know what it looks like out there. You want to know what it looks like in everyday life. And so that's what we've been endeavoring to do. And again, this table signifies something that for most of us has many stories. Many of the tables we've gathered around as family, as friends, as staff, whether it's here in the church or outside, represent some meaningful relationships. And some of the greatest memories I have in my own life find themselves around a table. I was thinking about this past week as we talked more about these interviews and hearing the stories of different people. If I rewind almost 15 years ago now, it's hard to believe the time goes by that quickly, but it was my first week working here at the church, and I think it was maybe even my second or third day, and Pastor Gordon and his pastoral team, we all went to a coffee shop here in Fraser Heights just to talk. And I don't know if you remember this, Bishop, but we had a coffee together. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker, so I think I had a Diet Coke. But whatever we were doing that day, we were getting some caffeine and talking. And something that we were talking about just hit me crazy funny, and I lost control. I don't know if you've ever had that moment where something's been in your mouth and you just can't hold it in. Well, there we were around this table, and the bishop sitting next to me. This is my first week of work now, keep this in mind. And you know him, he's looking good, right? He's got the suit and tie and being pocket square. He's looking like the bishop. He's looking good. And so I get laughing, and my mouth is full of Diet Coke. And yeah, I lose it. I spit the whole thing in his face, all over his suit. Bishop, do you remember that? It happened in that moment, and it was the most awkward situation. I thought it was over before it began, right? And so he very graciously smiled and kind of patted himself down, wiped off the Diet Coke, and relieved me from an incredibly awkward moment. But it's one of my greatest memories of our initial time together. And knowing the relationships that have been formed around tables is an incredible thing. Whether I look back at my own childhood and our family right through to today, it with my own family, the table represents something. It represents the connections that we share. Now, last week, Pastor Susan had the ladies of Calvary around the table, as we honored moms and the ladies of the house on such a special day, and we heard these great stories. This week we have also some more amazing people. So I want you to put your hands together and welcome our new guests today. We've got Julian and Tessa Pullman. We've got the legendary Matthew Joseph. Put your hands together. Welcome our group today. Yeah. Now, again, I don't want to assume that everybody knows everybody, so I'm going to ask them to give us a brief introduction of who they are, tell us a little bit about their family, how long they've been coming to Calvary, and then perhaps a story that sticks out in your mind that has to do with the table. So we'll start with Tessa.
Hi, everyone. I am Tessa Pullman. A lot of you don't see me around all the time because I am always downstairs with the kids. So in the first service, we have two children. In the first service, I accidentally said we have three children.
And we thought it was an announcement.
Just in case someone says, oh, I think she's hiding it, but Tessa's having a third. I'm not. I'm not having a third child. We have two children, 8 and 10, and I am back in school full time in the September semester, so I'm not planning on having more children. I have been at Calvary. I've called Calvary home for 22, almost 23 years now. And by nature, I'm a competitive person, and I know some of the people up here have been kind of competing over who's been here the longest. Unfortunately, that's not me, but that's because of my age, so... Oh, well. Yeah, and Julian, this is my husband, and we have been married for 15 years this July. And I'm on staff here for the last 5-ish years, working part-time, mostly with the kids' ministries, but also some administration. So growing up, my family, we didn't always get along great, but we did decide to start having family game night, and this is what started my serious dislike of Monopoly. I mean, it's a horrible... I'm sorry if you love that game, but it's a horrible game. We played... The family game night only lasted about a month, but every Thursday of that month, we would sit around a table, and we would ignore anything else that's going on, and we would play a game, and my brother chose Monopoly for the first game. So, yeah, that's my best story, probably, of tables.
Monopoly is a great game. She asked me all morning if I was nervous, and I wasn't until she said, three kids this morning. All right, so again, my name is Julian Pullman. I've been coming to this church for 20 years. I started in the youth group run by Vince at the time, and worked my way into young adults. I've been coming Sunday mornings ever since. I really got connected through the church that way. I've been loving it. Met my fiery redhead wife here through that experience as well. Occupationally, I am the supply chain manager for a natural health product company. And in case you're wondering what that means, it's protein powders and supplements, vitamins, things like that. Also on staff here, Steve invited me last year part-time as the facilities manager. So just in charge of small maintenance projects, renovations, larger improvements, and coordinating teams to help.
He keeps it looking good around here,
yes. Keeping it looking sharp. So that's been a joy as well. And in terms of tables, similar experience to Tessa in terms of the games nights. I have a twin brother, an older sister. Our table had scars from where the table hockey board would be pushed back and forth. Lots of game nights, a close family, and a lot of, you know, one of the things that our family did from start through till we moved out was regular meals, at least once a day, eating together, and sometimes I just wanted to get outside and play hockey, but looking back, it really is something I value. It's something we still do today with our girls. It's a chance to connect with them. Steve used the word connection, and that's a big one for us.
Hi, my name is Matthew, and I'm married to my wife, Anu. We've got two kids. They're not kids anymore. They're 24 and 20. They still live with us. And we've been coming to Calvary as a family for the last 17 years. And occupationally, I am a financial consultant, and I help make people reach their financial goals and attain financial freedom. That's what I do for a living. And I've been on the board, on the home group team, and memories from my childhood. So as a family growing up, the dinner table was important. My mom and my dad wanted, you know, the dinner, especially the whole family coming around. And later on when we got married too, that was an important part of our lives. And we, even in our home groups too, we share life, around the table. And my parents used to say, you know, and I can quote Rick Warren, that a table is a place of fellowship, and a fellowship is a place of grace, where your mistakes are not rubbed in, but they are rubbed out. So when you come together in fellowship, there is no condemnation, because Christ has set you free, set me free, and the one the Son sets free is free indeed. So we are here to rub out the mistakes, you know. That's grace. So
that's good.
Memories about table.
There's something about a table where it causes you to slow down, whether your brain is racing or your life is racing. When we sit around a table with other people, it's kind of a forced moment to sometimes slow down. I remember my parents bringing my sister and I to the dinner table and encouraging conversation. It wasn't always an easy situation because we didn't want to. We were like looking at our watch, trying to figure out when it would be over so that we could run off with the rest of our day. But it caused us to connect. And now looking back over time, you see that time is so valuable. Time is a resource in your life. It's a resource that, like your finances or your talent, needs to be invested properly and used properly. Colossians 4:5 encourages us to be wise, to walk in wisdom towards those that are outside of the family of God, and to use our time wisely. And so the way we use our time is very important, because it goes by quickly, right? It's just the blink of an eye. And so when it comes to knowing how to store that time, it's very, very important. So I'm curious to know what generosity looks like in all of your lives when it comes to your family, your marriage, your relationship, and how you use that time when it comes to investing it in the church, even as a church. Our mission to love God and love people. What does that look like in that way? And I think kind of connected to that is maybe some people you serve with and work with that kind of stand out in your mind as people that when you think of generosity, because when I think of generosity in this church, I've got all kinds of faces in my mind. There are too many to count of people that give of their lives. So what does that look like for you guys?
Well, for me, so a few weeks ago when I was asked to do this, I was like, sure, yes, of course, and because that's what I do. I just say yes, and then I was talking to my friend about it. I'm like, generosity with your time, like, why me? Why would they even pick me? And she just kind of stared at me like, are you serious right now? So for myself, any time that I'm not fully busy, so I didn't really mention it before, but I kind of did. I've gone back to school full time, and I'm still working, and we have the two kids. So as you can imagine, life is busy in the school year. Whenever I have free time, though, this is where I am. I love kids' events. I love Jesus. I love my church. I love children. This is where I want to be. And so it's never felt like work to me. Yes, it's a sacrifice, and yes, sometimes I'm tired, but it has never felt like work to me. I just want to be here. I want to be involved with the things that Kids Ministry is doing. So it never occurred to me that I was generous with my time until I really thought about it, and I'm like, okay, I guess I could be watching shows or doing something else with my time, but I love being here. So this is what I choose to do with my time. It is my way of being generous with my time at the same time. Saying time a lot. At the same time, I am a mom, and I want my kids to see me volunteering, and I want to instill that into my children, but I don't want them to think that I've ignored them their whole lives because I'd rather be here. So there's definitely a balance between home life, school life, children, being a mom, and working and volunteering my time here. There is, when I'm asked to pick people who have impacted me in kids' church, there is too many to count. Some of our teachers have been teachers for the last 20 years. Every single, like, there's 100 plus people downstairs, not each Sunday, but throughout our rotation. And they are all excellent people. The family I want to especially point out, though, would be the Liano family. And I can't even see anybody, so I don't know if they're here or not. But all the way up to Mrs. Liano, Carmela, she has stepped up and she's in our nursery. Now, that it's not that all of them are doing above and beyond, but if they say they're going to be here, 100% they will be here. Unless they've told me ahead of time, they will always be here. But more specifically, Keith Liano, I could not do what we do without him. He is a rock. He is so solid. He is an awesome, awesome volunteer. It's taking what you love to do, such as kids ministry for him as well, and it's going, I have the time. I'm going to put more into it. He will always call ahead of time and say, hey, how can I help? What do you need? What would you need me to do? He tries to lighten the load for those around him, and that is just excellent. So yeah, my thing with generosity would just be, you know what, it should be about what you love to do. It should be a sacrifice, but it shouldn't feel like hard work.
It's good, yeah. We're on the same page in a lot of regards. In terms of generosity with time, it's something I felt I've done well with. I've had other issues with generosity that I'll get to later. But in terms of time management, I like to focus on things that I love doing, things that I'm good at doing, and things that add value, that provide for the church community or occupationally, same deal, that add value. So in my time here, I've been involved in a variety of different ministries, night shift, helping out with kids' church, helping out with the young adults as a leader, youth ministry, just helping with different projects from time to time. Some of them were successful, some of them were failures. I don't belong in the booth up there. I don't belong in the small groups with your kids downstairs. It's just, I have certain skills and some of them apply to other things better. I'm into sports. I'm into just fixing stuff, getting stuff done, you know, saying hi to someone and doing something, you know, doing a project with them. One of my best memories in that context at the church is the church soccer team. We had a team in a competitive church league here that ran for, I don't know, probably 5, 6, 7 years, and I got to lead that group, and it was a way to connect people who just, you know, thought on a different level. We were people that were into sports, but also recognizing how to use our skills for God, and so we were bringing our friends into the church and also meeting other churches and just developing a community that way.
That's a great place to see the character of Christ, isn't it, on the soccer field? When the tension rises, right?
It's true. It happens. We had some really high, like, great memories, some relationships that were developed and last to this day. We had some incredible lows, you know, some devastating, heartbreaking moments that we shared in. We got together and prayed about. So it was doing community together and scoring some goals. So, in terms of people to give credit for, my small group has been amazing, helpful with projects. There's a number of faces here, too many to name. I will mention one. It's Phil Alder. He reached out. I had never met him until last year. He reached out. He was asking, who can I talk to about pressure washing the stairs? I believe he was coming in on the east entrance every morning, and he saw it was grimy, there was mildew and filth, and he was tired of it. And he took some initiative. He had a pressure washer, and we connected for a few minutes, and within a couple weeks, it was looking shiny and pretty and sparkly, and it was great. And I really commend him for that, taking initiative, using what you have, and giving back and just reaching out. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, When I was about 22 years old, there was this pastor in our church, and he preached this sermon on serving. He said that there are no spectators in the body of Christ. There's no spectators in church. That we have to all serve. Otherwise, if you don't serve, you will get a disease called spectatoritis. So that challenged me. And he said that if you love God, God has called us to serve his people, serve the body of Christ. That's what Christ did. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't just sit back there. He gave. So, you know, we're not professionals here, you know, not like a hockey team. So we're all called to serve. So since then, I've been serving wherever the Lord calls me. I love people. So that's why I serve in the home groups, serve on the board, serving the ushering team. I love those people. I love my home groups. I also would love to give a shout out to Sheila and Blake and Brenda and Wally. They've given sacrificially to set up and run the home group. It's not an easy job. You know, Blake does all the studies and prepares the studies. So these are the people I love and I'm thankful for. And God has been a great blessing to our family, even as we stepped out and serving God and His people.
The Bible says a lot about generosity, and it actually says a fair amount about our finances. And at least one of the people at our table has dedicated their life to helping people manage and invest their finances. And so as we work towards a very exciting day for us next Sunday each year, the vision offering is that opportunity for us to see this miracle day of giving to advance a number of things within the church, take a huge leap in that moment. And so we give at an occasion like that, knowing that we can accomplish so much more together than we can all by ourselves. And so I continue to encourage you to pray this week. Consider what you can do, what you can be a part of. The scripture talks about what God can do. We take what we have in our hands and He multiplies it, right? How many scriptural stories do we see about those that have given God what they have in their hand and He's multiplied it time and time again? Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine." I can imagine a lot of incredible things, and I'm a big asker when it comes to asking God to move in our province, to move in our nation. And the Bible tells us that He can do immeasurably more than that. And so He's not just the God of enough, meaning He doesn't just fill up the cup and go, "There, that's your portion." We serve a God of more than enough, meaning He fills up that cup to its overflowing state so that you, in turn, can be a blessing to other people. So I'm curious with all of you coming from different kind of focuses when it comes to your life and how you live it, what role does generosity play as you manage and invest your own finances? And what have you learned over the years from God and from Scripture about generously giving in that way?
All right, so truth time for a minute here. I actually don't tithe, but let me explain. I'm always downstairs, so I'm not physically here to do so, and I'm never at the Welcome Center, so I'm not really able to do it. But I do put my trust in my husband to tithe for us. Now, many people have a small amount of money. Many people have a lot of money. That sounds weird. The point of tithing isn't about the amount you give. It's about trust. It's about trusting God with what you have. When we're talking about this word of trust, I've actually never had a problem with trusting God with my finances. I find that reasonably easy. It's something that comes natural. But what I do have a problem with is trusting people. And God called me on that a very long time ago. And so it was actually about 6 months ago, and we've been married for a long time, where I said, We tithe, right? Because I don't know. But I put my complete trust in Him to make sure that we're actually giving to our church what we're giving. And it's through actually trusting in somebody else, in trusting in someone that God has put in place as, you know, the head of our family. It's about trusting Him to tithe that has actually been quite beneficial to me. So for us, for me anyways, it hasn't been about the dollar amount. It's been about the trust.
That's a lot of pressure. So I'm going to speak honestly. I gave myself props for my generosity with my time. Finances haven't always been the same way. So Tess and I got married fairly young. We had entry-level jobs, and it didn't take long for life to happen to us. You think scripturally of the poor woman giving her two pennies. I was the able-bodied person that I kind of walked right past her. I was diagnosed right around when we got married with an illness, hospitalized, sort of a life-changing moment. We had a lot of prescription expenses that we weren't expecting, and in a sense sort of built up some excuses just to wait till another time. Only 6 months later, I had an injury at work, And I was off work for over a year. The surgeon, I had a couple surgeries. The surgeon told me that I should prepare to never work with my hand again. It was a scary time for us, challenging. We learned a lot about God, and we gained a lot of support from people in this building. A year of physiotherapy made a pretty strong recovery that the surgeon was really amazed by. It was a testament to God, and a really interesting time. And from there, obtained a job that really I felt was a dream job. I thought we were finally turning the corner, and maybe 3 or 4 years into that, the rug got pulled out from under us due to the economic downturn, depression. Unemployed again and wondering where to go. Fortunately, we could look back at all of our experiences and see God working in them and changing our focus. I really gained this perspective of trying to do things that you love doing, that you enjoy or that you're good at, and that contribute, and went on that path. And we committed our lives to God financially. We sold our home. We committed to live within our means. I went back to school, and we sort of tooth and nailed it through. And so now we can look back at those moments, and we know God brought us through that. We're giving more. We're offering more, and it's something that you never regret. And so we're still developing that, and we're excited about where that's going.
Yeah, I would take you back again to my youth when I was about 20 years old. The pastor in the church talked about tithing, and I didn't like what I heard. Giving money away, no way. You're 20, I want my money, right? So, but the Lord, spoke to me, and he directed me to these verses, Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Here God is testing us. He's telling us, test me. And our God is not a stingy God. He blesses abundantly. And also Luke 6:38, given it shall be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So God spoke to me through these verses, and ever since I was disciplined in giving to the Lord, making him first with my time, treasure, and talent, and he has blessed me, blessed us abundantly. And here in Luke 6:38, he's also talking about more than just the money. If we are holding unforgiveness, holding mercy, holding love, God said, give it. Don't hold it against anybody, because Christ has set you free and you have to set other people free. So, and also Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So he has blessed us. He doesn't need our money, but it's for our good. We make him number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added to us. So make him number one, and that is true in our lives, that we've been blessed. Because we put him number one. And it doesn't have to be, it can be in different steps. You don't have to go the whole hog, start. And then God will build your faith. And he'll grow in it.
I have found in my life that whatever God has given me, that I have learned, as you heard Matthew say, in our younger years, we're much more, protective of the things that we have, and certainly a little bit more maybe self-focused. And so a lot of times if I earned something as a young man, I held it tightly. And, it was a representation of who I was. It represented my time, my hard work, and so it was mine. And so I was never a big fan of people that would get up and kind of put a hard sell on me to give my money. But over time, I learned more about the scripture. I learned more about the heart of God. I learned more about his generosity, that God so loved the world that he gave. And so as I began to kind of mold myself in his image and say, God, I want to be more like you, less like me, the more I let it go, it seemed the more God entrusted me with, whether it was time or the use of my talent or my finances. I found that the grip that I had when I let it up and I let it flow through my hand instead of into my hand, that God really opened up the doors of blessing. And some of it supernatural. Moments in my life when God provided for me and my family that really was not something I anticipated, but I believe was a result of planting that good seed in the ground. And that takes time. That's a progression. And every bit of progress in your life starts with a single step. It starts with just moving forward one more step. I think sometimes people get freaked out a little bit and overwhelmed when they see the big picture, whether it's in education, whether training to become something in their lives, whether it's a destination in your life that you want to be more like this type of a person. And oftentimes we see all of the steps in between, and it messes with our mind and we get overwhelmed. And sometimes it derails us. Sometimes the wheels come off the wagon and we get discouraged by that. But my encouragement to you today is to trust Him to help you move ahead one step. Within the church, within our mission of loving God, loving people, it's all about every dollar that's spent, every ministry that's developed is all about moving that mission one more step forward. So for you, if you've never been involved, then maybe it's looking at what you can do to serve. Maybe you've never given above and beyond. Maybe you've never tithed or given God your best. Maybe it's time to take one step towards trusting God, opening up that hand, and let God work in and through you. Now, I'm going to, as we close, I want Tessa just to kind of touch on this when it comes to those next steps, because they're so very, very important. So what advice would you give to maybe somebody here that's new to Christ, maybe somebody that's new to the church, or even somebody that's been coming forever and a day, but maybe has been in that role of kind of watching what's going on, but not actively involved? What advice would you give them about moving that ball forward a little bit?
Well, first of all, God can use anybody, like seriously, anybody. So sometimes you look around at leadership or people that are doing something in leadership, and you think, oh, they've got it all together. So I don't think they want me to tell you guys this. I am a klutz, a really, really, really big klutz. This morning I'm walking my dog, and I trip. It's embarrassing because there's people behind me, and I fall hard. And because I was trying to, and I'm already dressed for the day, I just threw a sweatshirt on or whatever, and because I'm trying to walk quickly home and not let them know that I'm actually in an incredible amount of pain, and I ignore it when I get home, I didn't realize that I had blood all over my leg, and my clothes were, my pants were covered in blood. I didn't realize that until I no longer had time to change. So then I grabbed myself, I think, oh, I'll just wash it off, we'll be good. And then I grabbed myself a cup of coffee, and I quickly proceed to pour it down the front of myself. So this is this morning. So if God can use me, the klutz, He can use any of you. Here's the thing. We have about, you know, anywhere from 80 to 100 volunteers downstairs. I think kids ministry is awesome. I encourage you all to join kids ministry. Come talk to me. I know, though, talking to a person can be scary. So that's why we have, in the seat pocket in front of you, we have an orange card. On there, there's a whole bunch of things that you can tick off. One of them is kids. I encourage you to click that one off right there. But if kids are not your thing, I personally would not.
I'm not sure, but do you have a passion for the kids ministry?
You know,
is Mark paying you something to say this today?
Possibly. I think that all of you should have a passion for kids ministry. I'm kidding. If you have, I'm not kidding, but I kind of am. If you have a passion for something else, I encourage you just to click that off and put your name and your email on there. Somebody will contact you, and they'll contact you quickly. Ticking off one of these things on here does not mean that suddenly you're locked in for life and you are in the parking lot until you are, 80, 85 or whatever it is you are right now. It means that you would like more information. What does this mean? How often would I have to volunteer? All that stuff. They'll give you that information, and you do not have to commit to anything until you're like, yeah, I could do that. I could stand in the parking lot for an hour. I could serve in kids' ministries once in a while. That sort of thing. So I really encourage you, no matter who you are, what you think, oh, I'm not capable, or I don't know. Do you know what? We will find a place for you. Get this card, fill it out, put your name in there, put it in the offering bucket, give it to the Welcome Center. Don't be hesitant. Don't go, oh, I'm not sure if I'm ready yet. Find the time. You can do it. We believe the church will not run. Yes, there is a staff here, but the church does not run without volunteers. So If you have an hour once every 6 weeks, that's all that's asking. So I encourage you to fill out that orange form right in front of you.
Team Calvary, I can't say enough incredible things about the people that generously give of their time, their talent, and their treasure, their finances. And I want to encourage you to take the next steps to becoming more generous in the way that you live your life and planting the seed that you have. All of those things are seeds in the ground to bless and touch other people. So I want to pray for each of you today, and as I do, I want to believe that generosity will forever be a part of our church family, and it will be a part, an active part of your life too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your presence among us. We thank you, Lord, that you are at work within our church, our community of faith. Today, I bless each person. I pray that as you enrich their lives, that they would be freed up and blessed to generously give to others. Lord, we're believing for a miracle next Sunday. We're believing for you to move in a powerful way when it comes to the generosity of those that will say, I believe in this house. I believe in the mission that you've called us to. And so I'm going to plant some big seed in the ground and believe God for a miracle. And so we continue to believe you to move in our community, in our province, Lord, our city, our nation, that, Lord Jesus, you would use each one of us to be a catalyst, to be a conduit of your love to this world. I bless each person today and pray that they would find that in being generous, that we would also discover that we are being more like you, that you would increase and we would decrease in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.